If you want Colts talk all year long, you're in the right place.
Fires it upfield, caught over the middle, Michael Pittman Jr., there he goes! He's at the 40, he's at the 30, slips out of a tackle, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Michael Pittman Jr. takes it 75 yards to the house!
Big run, angling left, 40, he's at the 30, down the near sideline, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Jonathan Taylor, a 49-yard gallop to pay dirt.
In the Indiana Union Construction Industry radio studio, let's get the podcast started.
It's time for another OCP here on YouTube and the Colts Audio Network. Hi, everybody. I'm Matt Taylor, joined alongside the lovely and talented and the incomparable Lara Overton.
Hello. I was wondering who else was sitting here when you were going with that lead. I was like, who's walking in the door now?
What's going on?
Great to see you, buddy.
Good to see you.
Hey, welcome back. You had a little spring break trip with
Indeed.
The family. You
Indeed.
Went to Arizona. You got to enjoy a little spring training, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we chased the warmer weather. So long story short, last year, 2023, went to Florida.
Yeah.
Got hosed by the weather there in the panhandle.
Yeah.
So we decided to chase the sun, chase the weather. Went out to Arizona, high 70s, low 80s, dry heat out there.
Fun.
Saw some baseball, did some swimming with the kiddos. It was great.
Great.
But good to be back.
Always good to have you
Absolutely.
Back. Yeah, that's why we pushed our Florida trip until April, because it often is like a little finicky,
dicey.
The time of year.
Because
spring breaks happen so early now.
They do. We just got done saying that. I mean, when we were in spring break back in our day, it was like the first week of April. Now it's like the third week of March, second week of March. So, yeah, that's why the weather is a little bit shaky.
Yeah,
so.
Your memories from Daytona Beach or something are going to be saved
I never
for another
went on
podcast.
Break. I was the kid that got left behind to play basketball in my backyard. That was me as a kid. Well, my dad was an accountant, so it's like
tax season,
so we could never really go anywhere. So.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, I digress. How's your bracket doing, by the way?
Doing
all right?
I didn't make one.
I didn't make one either.
Look at us.
Yeah.
We're doing great.
Yeah, when the Hoosiers don't make it, there's no incentive to fill one out, I suppose.
You know? That's, again, conversations
for another podcast,
Absolutely. Another platform, our ramblings of Indiana University basketball. But congratulations to the IU women who advanced to the Sweet 16. Incredible win last night at Assembly Hall. Basketball fan, be sure that you see the photo of Mackenzie Holmes charging into the student section.
That was great.
When they won. Incredible. So let's go Hoosiers. There is a reason to be invested in IU basketball.
We do have March Madness, a little Hoosier hysteria there here in this time of the calendar. All right, we got a lot to get into today. We're talking Colts, obviously, on today's podcast. We're talking about a healthy potential return in the springtime for Anthony Richardson. Shane Steichen talked all about that this week at the NFL owners meetings happening right now down in Orlando. JJ Stankovic is parked down there. He's had sit downs with head coach Shane Steichen and general manager Chris Ballard that we're going to hear on this podcast as well. So stay tuned for that. And we're also going to close out with some diagramming. All right, we're going to test your telestrator skills, if you will. We got rule changes. We got a ban on hip drop tackles.
That's why they banned it. It's because it was too hard for the play-by-play guys to say.
And we have all kinds of complexities, if you will, in the kickoff rule. About 30 minutes before we hit the record button today on this podcast, we have changed the kickoff rule altogether.
Yeah.
Last year, we kind of tweaked it with fair catches. Now we are changing everything about the NFL kickoff. It's going to look just like the XFL. We'll talk about that as we go here on this podcast as well. But let's talk about Anthony Richardson. Earlier this week, Shane Steichen said, hey, he should be good to go. Mm-hmm. Really optimistic. Those are the comments, again, down in Orlando at the owners' meetings. He said, quote, I think he'll be good for spring practice. Obviously, we've got to limit him and monitor it, and we don't want to go overboard, but I can't be more excited to get him back going again. His limited sample size last year in those first 5 weeks were impressive. I mean, he made some plays that I've never seen guys make, and he's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lara, we do the games together. We are literally on the edge of our seats. You know, you on the sideline, me up in the press box and in the radio booth. I mean, the Colts have never had anything close to the excitement at the quarterback position with Anthony Richardson in terms of what he can do. So how exciting is it to hear that AR will be on the field to start spring workouts, which begin really only in a couple of weeks?
Incredibly exciting for a number of reasons. One, there was so much optimism behind what you were able to see in the early part of that season, and it's also so critical for him to purely get reps. You think about it, he was healthy when he came in, but didn't come in until that rookie mini camp period, was really limited on guys he was throwing to, was splitting the reps with Gardner Minshew. Yeah. So this is a critical period of time for him to get the necessary reps that he needs with the first team offense, now knowing who he's going to be surrounded by. Obviously, you know, at this point last year, Jonathan Taylor wasn't healthy coming into the spring.
Right.
Michael Pittman was going through some things. Alec Pierce was working through some things as well. So now you have an assembly of guys who are all pretty healthy from what we have heard over the course of the offseason. So a few of those variables. And then my biggest takeaway from it was purely the amount of transparency from Shane Steichen. You know, typically when we have had quarterbacks coming off of injuries, especially to the severity that you saw of Anthony Richardson, temper expectations, you know.
No timeline.
We're not going to show too much. We're not going to tell too much. So this is, to me, refreshing to hear that he's able to go as much into that degree of optimism and be able to say, okay, hard timeline, spring practice. We expect him to be out there. You know, it's not this. He's progressing well.
Trending in the right direction,
right? We're hearing much more concrete verbiage. And I think kind of those three factors that I mentioned, to me, that's the most telling.
And to your point, it's been all positive. The Colts need positive quarterback news, mm-hmm. right? They've been through the gauntlet at the quarterback position, obviously, since Andrew Luck's shoulder and then the calf and then the retirement.
Well, even before that, Peyton Manning and the neck injury,
100%.
Even prior to Andrew Luck even being drafted by the organization.
Right.
You kind of start with it then.
It's been a decade plus, you know, length of time with quarterback.
That's why I wore my Johnny United
uncertainty.
Shirt today.
There you go. That's, now you're going way back in the time of consistency.
Exactly. this is a shout out to Homage for the Johnny U shirt. This is a great little collection that they have.
Sharp.
But yeah, this is one of my favorites.
That's sharp.
So,
but my point is, like, you need... when he goes down with that shoulder injury in week 5, that fluke hit against the Tennessee Titans.
I cannot erase that from my memory, by the way, because it happened. I mean, it was as far away as our camera is right now from where I was standing on the sidelines.
Right.
And then I'm trying to illustrate to you and Rick exactly the emotion, the demeanor of Anthony with that period. I remember seeing, you know, I mean, his arm was completely slumped down this way.
Definitely holding it, right?
Oh, it was, I couldn't tell if it was, you know, dislocated or a broken collarbone. Obviously, you don't want to try to deduce too much, right, from that period of time. But just his demeanor and all of it was something like I had never seen from him.
Yeah. But the positivity around this since that time, the surgery was a success, coming back with the team, meeting with the team or meeting with the media, at the end of the season saying, I'm going to be able to throw by mid-February. And mid-February came and he's throwing. And then we have the visual images of him at the at Gainbridge Fieldhouse over the weekend celebrating a three-pointer by the Florida Gators and celebrating with a windmill motion with that right shoulder. So that's a good, you know, I guess, visual milestone.
Can I go back just a little bit?
Sure.
Could you imagine had Anthony Richardson been healthy over the offseason, how much of a priority there would have been on trying to get him in the NBA All-Star game? Could you imagine?
Oh, the celebrity game.
The celebrity game, I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would that have been
him
awesome?
And C.J. Stroud.
Right?
Yeah, that
right?
would have been cool.
Think
Absolutely.
About that. So,
Absolutely.
You know, okay, so here's my campaign to bring back another All-Star game to Indianapolis so we can suit up Anthony.
100%.
You know, how fun would it be to see him at Gainbridge, right?
Yeah, no doubt. So I just think there's a lot of, like, positivity. There's a lot of, like, good morale that he's going to be out there. And I think it's important that he be out there both tangibly and intangibly, because like you said, there's going to be a lot of guys coming back. Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, Alec Pierce. But inevitably, too, once we get into kind of like the second stage of the offseason workout program, inevitably, there's going to be some more weapons that are going to factor into this offense. And he's going to need to show that leadership. He's going to need to show that willingness to get better, which obviously he will. But I just think it's so important, I think, just from a morale standpoint, but also just coming off only 4 games last year, only 17 games. He's only played 17 games post-high school. Mm-hmm. So he still needs as much experience as possible, as many reps as possible to kind of shake out as much of the, I'm going to make up a word here, as much of the rookiness as possible.
I get that.
Going into the season.
The immaturity, but right? Like, that's kind of what's
right.
what it is.
In
right?
an inevitable way.
Right. Exactly. Not from an attitude or a behavioral standpoint, but purely from a physical and production standpoint. And I do think that he will go into this offseason, or has gone into this offseason, will go into this spring a lot differently because of what he was able to gain from that perspective of standing on the sideline, watching Gardner Minshew operate, now having Joe Flacco in support, knowing the expectations of Shane, having this mastery of the offense. So I think that even from that leadership standpoint, and he is just an inherent natural leader, right, from what we saw those first days of training camp. But I do think that from that standpoint, he will take more steps, even, you know, maybe greater than what you see in a second year quarterback because of who he's been surrounded by.
Yeah, just kind of think of it from the perspective of the offensive line and some of the weapons on this offense. Like, if you're Michael Pittman Jr., you played with seven different quarterbacks. You re-sign in free agency, right? Everybody kind of hits the reset button on, you know, missing out on the playoffs by an eyelash last year. And just, again, his physical presence on the field as early as he possibly can be in the spring just sends a message that it's a new year, right? His physical presence tells me, all right, we got our guy. For the first time, Lair, think about this. For the first time since 2015, 2016, the Colts are going to have the same quarterback start consecutive week one games.
That is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. All right, so just having him out there sends a message to the team that I think, like, guys, it's time to go. We got our guy. Anthony Richardson is going to take us as far as he can go. Mm-hmm. And that's not me or us putting, you know, unneeded expectations on him, but that's just the reality of a franchise quarterback in the NFL, right? When you're drafted fourth overall, you're the guy. That's how this league works. And so, again, to have him out there the earliest he can be out there in the spring is so huge, because what you're trying to do, again, is have the speed bumps that are going to come with Richardson's second season. And for him, again, essentially a rookie season 2.0. You want those to be lessened by just the unbelievable, spectacular big plays, the explosive plays that he can add to this offense, because that's what the offense was last year. I mean, if you go back the first five, I know we're going to get into this later, but the first 5 weeks of the season last year, the Colts, from a dynamic standpoint on offense, were much different than they were under Gardner Minshew. No slight under Gardner Minshew, but they just didn't play the same because of his skill set.
The previous, you know, handful of seasons when we would talk about the lack of explosive plays and where the Colts were in terms of, you know, those metrics and, you know, red zone and just various things, you could immediately see the leap into the exponential, you know, leap in what was brought to the production when you did have, you know, Anthony under center.
Absolutely. So when you go back to the, you know, what parts of Richardson's game are going to help the offense the most? I mean, again, I just think it's his presence out there with the threat of being dynamic. Not to get too
nerdy.
You have
to account for everything.
Not to get too nerdy on you, but, I mean, Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson, it's been well chronicled. Those two guys last year together played on the field at the same time in the same backfield for a grand total of two snaps. I mean, that's criminal considering what they can be together, right? I mean, I just get so excited thinking about how much stress there's going to be put on defenses now, especially if Michael Pittman Jr. comes back and he's the same guy, which he will be, right? No reason to think he won't be. But also, too, if you add another playmaker on the outside, if Alec Pierce can be more of a impactful threat with Anthony Richardson as his quarterback, if maybe through the draft, the wide receiver depth in this draft class is so big, so deep, you can get impactful players, heck, in round three, round four, round five. If you can get another guy that can stretch the field outside the numbers and down the field, what does that do to lessen the load in the box for the running game for Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor? That's what I am most excited to see, how that kind of manifests itself starting in the springtime.
Oh, no question. Are you already practicing your calls? Like, do you, how much time in the spring do you prepare? Like, getting
zero.
I
hate
up?
To burst your bubble. Zero.
No, but like when you came up with touchdown INDY, like that was, you were like,
that one just kind of popped in.
You manifested that a little bit. Like, I feel like you got to start like working on some things, right? Like,
well, with Anthony Richardson, you know, someone told me, or someone asked me last year before the Colts picked him, like when he was coming in as a rookie, like, what is your approach to Anthony Richardson. And I think it's the right approach with him being so creative and the play with him seemingly never being over. You can't anticipate anything. You can't assume anything.
It's true.
So when he's got the ball in his hands, you have to be really precise because obviously there's going to be a lot of read zone action. There's going to be a lot of fakes and play action. So from a ball handling standpoint, you got to be precise and maybe wait that half beat. But also, too, like when he's outside the pocket and he's faking a throw and he's pump faking, like you can't say, throws down, wait a minute. No,
no,
he didn't.
Because he's going to see him scramble.
He's going to pull it, scramble, get outside the edge even more, you know, scoot down the sideline. So you have to almost be like a half second behind Anthony Richardson to make sure you get it right because
of
all that he can do.
Most people are a half second behind Anthony Richardson.
Literally. Yeah, but I think speech pattern-wise, I think you have to be – extra precise about it. It's going to be good stuff right there. So that's what I'm just so excited about this spring is you've got Jonathan Taylor coming back, Michael Pittman Jr. You've got the threat again of Anthony Richardson pulling the ball either on crucial third downs in the red zone near the goal line, kind of like how the Ravens treat Lamar Jackson. So from that standpoint, it's going to be really, really fun to see.
I mean, that tandem, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor, like you can certainly glean some similarities from what, you know, those offenses are going to try to do.
Richardson in the first five games last year, again, nerd stat here, 3.4%.
Don't you DVOA me, explosive. Matt Taylor.
I won't DVO. I don't even know what that means, to be honest with you. I will not deviate symptoms over here, all right? Or septums. I won't do that either. Easy.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'm not going to do all that. But a 3.4% explosive play rate doesn't sound like a lot, but that's actually an enormous number for a quarterback. So really, really excited about that. All right, let's talk about what the head coach of the Colts thinks about the return of Anthony Richardson here in the spring. Head coach Shane Steichen and J.J. Stankovic sat down for a one-on-one earlier this week down to the Big O, Orlando, the site of NFL Owners Meetings 2024.
I'm J.J. Stankovic here at the NFL annual meeting with Colts head coach Shane Steichen. Shane, a year ago at this time, you're kind of setting the foundation of what you wanted your coaching staff to look like, how you wanted things coached, you're evaluating quarterbacks. What's something now that you're freed up to do that you weren't able to do at this time last year?
Well, I think right now we're going through our self-scout process, which is huge for us. You know, last year was installing the system. You know, obviously we kept the defensive staff from last year, and those guys have been great. But now it's really offensively going through our self-scout and, you know, looking at new things that we can get better at, things we need to improve on. And go from there. But that part's been really good this offseason.
As you've gone through that self-scout, you do have continuity on the offensive side of the coaching staff. You bring in Alex Tanney, but otherwise everyone else is back on that side of the ball. How can you build on what you established last year with that continuity?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, you know, when you have your system in place, I think it helps big time, especially with the players, just understanding the verbiage and the terminology, but really trying to stay on the cutting edge of things, you know, because this league's always changing. So if we can do that and build on what we did last year, I'll be excited for the 2024 season.
How do you approach that? Where last year you have a strength of the team, say it's the offensive line playing really well. Can you realistically go into this season and be like, you know, set it and forget it on them? Or how do you stay on the cutting edge knowing you kind of have to constantly evolve that
Yeah,
side?
That's a great question. I think with anything, you know, as coaches, you know, you want to be the best you can be, you know, every single day. And whether that's looking at, you know, different things around the league, looking at ideas, even in college football, trying to stay on the cutting edge and making sure it fits your players. And I think that's the biggest thing is making sure you do what your players do well as coaches. And we got to put those guys in position to do that.
Kind of continuing off that self-scout idea, and you do have continuity in personnel on offense with obviously Pitt being back, JT, Anthony, the offensive line, knowing what those guys can do now, you have proof of concept of those guys for 17 games. How can you now build on that going into next year?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think those type of guys, you know, playing together, the chemistry, especially, you know, Anthony and JT, you know, finally getting a chance to be in the same backfield together coming up this year. But the chemistry building off that, you know, in the spring practices coming up and in training camp, that continuity and that chemistry is going to be big going forward for us.
What's it been like working with Reggie Wayne, not, you know, as a coach and a talent evaluator? Because we all know him, obviously, as, like, this franchise receiving legend. But as a coach, a talent evaluator, what stood out about him?
You know what? You know, going into year three for him now, just the progress that he's made and everything that he does for our football team. I mean, you saw the production that our receivers had last year with Pittman and Downs, you know, having, you know, leading the franchise in receptions for a rookie was awesome. And then going through the evaluation process, the draft, you know, coming up and getting his thoughts and opinions. And obviously, he's done it at a high level at this organization. So obviously, he knows what a good receiver looks like. So it's been great to have Reggie.
Sometimes with great athletes, I remember reading something about like Tony Gwynn, the Padres Hall of Fame outfielder, who some early on struggled to coach because he was just like, no, just do it like this way, like my way. Reggie doesn't seem to do that. Reggie seems to be very like knowledgeable of like, hey, you, the way that I did it isn't the way that it's going to work for everyone else.
Yeah, that's right. He's very adaptable in that way. You know, he knows our player's strengths at the wide receiver position, so he gives those guys the tools to go be successful on Sundays.
On defense, you know, obviously you mentioned Gus coming back. You know, a lot of continuity in terms of personnel with Zaire signing the extension, Grover, Kenny, Tyquan all coming back. What can that unit build on going into 2024?
Yeah, I think just being fast and physical every single day, you know, the practices and going into game day is big, right? And we want to be tough on defense, and we want to get takeaways. It's going to be big, and that's one of our keys to victory every single week is getting those takeaways. And really just with anything like offense, we got to score points, and we got to keep the points down defensively is going to be big for us this year.
With the takeaways, when you have a defense that's now played together for 3 years under Gus Bradley with a lot of the same personnel, that ability to play fast, to communicate quicker, does that lead to more takeaways?
I believe so. I think it definitely will because those guys are going to be on the same page. You know, they've heard the same terminology, you know, going into year three. And I always, you know, talk about continuity, and I think it's going to be big for those guys in the system in year three. And I think we'll see great growth.
The relationship between a coach and a general manager is always so important in this league. 1 year in with Chris Ballard, what's kind of stood out about the way that he operates and how that works with you?
Yeah, you know what? I love Chris Ballard. He's a grinder. He's a football guy. Loves the process. You know, obviously been doing it for a long time now. But just the way he sees the game, when we talk about personnel, he's just been tremendous for me. And, you know, shoot, when I need something and, you know, ask for his opinion on certain things, he's been doing it for a long time. So, you know, just the relationship I've had with him over this past year and building into year two with him, I'm super excited about it.
The players will be back in the building in a couple of weeks right now as we sit here in Orlando in late March. When they get back in the building, kind of like all we talked about here is about building on that year one.
Yeah.
What's the message to the guys who are coming back to build on year one now starting in mid-April?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, they know kind of, you know, the standards that have been set in place. Obviously, we're going to have a couple new faces that are coming in. You know, we'll go over those standards again and those pillars and make sure everyone understands what we're trying to get done in the 2024 season. But you know what? I say this every year. Every year is a new year. And, you know, we got to start from ground one and build this thing back up again, but something we're looking forward to.
All right. Shane Steichen, thanks for the time here. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, JJ.
Thanks again to head coach Shane Steichen. JJ Stankovic down in Orlando at NFL Owners Meetings 2024. We're back here on set on the official Colts podcast. Matt Taylor here with Lara Overton. And again, I just go back to the fact that the Colts know who their guy is. Really, really exciting stuff right there. And Shane's right. I mean, every team, no matter if you miss the playoffs, mm-hmm. like the Colts, right, with a 9-8 record losing in week 18, or if you're the Kansas City Chiefs who have won back-to-back Super Bowls, your roster is going to turn over.
Yep.
Right? Free agency mandates it. Everybody's going to hit the reset button. But again, the fact that the Colts know who
free agency and the salary cap
yeah.
mandate it, right?
100%. But Anthony Richardson is their guy. The foundation is here. The free agency moves, which we're going to talk about, you got, you know, a boatload of in-house free agents that are back, a couple of guys outside on the open market that are now Colts, you know, Raekwon Davis, Joe Flacco. The Colts are hitting the reset button, but the foundation is here, knowing that Richardson is their guy. There's no more uncertainty at the quarterback position.
Right. Everything is solidified, and that is, you know, one of the things we heard in that interview. What a difference a year makes for Coach Steichen, and that he is able to really hone in on continuing to develop this team, know who he has in-house,
right.
has the coaching staff set, has his quarterback. So much different from last year, in which you had on so many levels new coaches in here. He's still trying to learn the players who are coming back, trying to figure out what you're doing in the draft, all of those things. So that is, you know, an immense asset
yeah.
for Shane with what he is able to do and how he's able to treat the spring.
Chris Ballard coming up in just a few minutes, but let's talk about it. 10 in-house free agents have been re-signed. Two outsiders, if you will, Raekwon Davis, Joe Flacco. Lara, my question to you is, before we get to Chris, how much of Richardson's potential? How much of his health coming back, how much of that has impacted the Colts' decision to this point in free agency, before the draft, how much has that influenced their decision to bring back much of the same core from seasons past, like Grover Stewart, Tyquan Lewis, Kenny Moore, Zaire Franklin, who got an extension as well?
Well, it has to, right? That has to be an immense, you know, factor that you consider when you are structuring your offseason. And, you know, one thing we have heard from Chris before is he was asked this at, I believe it was the season-ending press conference, about when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal, how much do you have to capitalize on that you aren't yet having to pay the quarterback the, you know, veteran money that you will have to on a second deal, especially, you know, with the trajectory that Anthony Richardson appears to be on, and you look at other quarterbacks of that caliber and, you know, what that hit will be to your budget, so to speak. So that opened some opportunities for you to reward a Zaire Franklin, who was on a deal that was, you know, much more on par with a special teams player rather than your, you know, starting linebacker.
One of the best in the game.
Right. Exactly. So you think, and then rewarding, you know, bringing back Grover Stewart, the ability to look at Kenny Moore and, you know, what sort of flexibility you had at that position, making sure that you retain Michael Pittman. You know, I think that that was probably priority number one when you knew what was, you know, where exactly Anthony Richardson is, you know, from that standpoint. So yeah, I think it all is, I mean, it's the most important position, right? And when you have that secured and you have at least some sort of reassurance on where he is going to become April, May, June, July, most importantly, September, that does afford you a lot of opportunities to address the other needs that you have by rewarding your own, building with your own, and incentivizing the guys who have given so much to this team in the time that they have previously been a part of the roster.
Well, I think in terms of what the Colts have done so far in free agency, there's been a lot of in-house free agents. But most of the in-house free agents that the Colts have signed, are some of the best players at their positions in the NFL. Grover Stewart doesn't grow on trees,
right?
Nor does Kenny Moore, nor does Zaire Franklin. So had you lost those players, you're looking at even more holes you have to fill in free agency in the draft. So that's one of the things that I think kind of gets overlooked. But free agency acquisition, that just started. And two, I think some of the biggest playmakers on this team for next year, I don't think they're here yet. You know, you look at all the offensive talent that's going to be there at the top of this draft. That's going to push down some elite defensive players to the middle of the first round. Players at either cornerback or defensive end. Some tough decisions in a good way for the Colts to make there at 15. Or maybe they go wide receiver there at 15, right? Maybe you get, you know, the third or fourth best wide receiver in this draft class. But
and what did Josh Downs show us last year and how impactful those rookie receivers can be, right?
Every year, the wide receiver depth is so immense. I mean, you can get guys, like we just said, that can come in and crack your top three wide receiver rotation on day three of the draft. I mean, obviously day two as well in rounds two, rounds three. So
Pittman was a second round. Pierce was a second round. Downs was a third round.
And you had Paris Campbell in there as well in years past. So I just think that in terms of free agency, we kind of think of it's got to be new agency. It's got to be new guys. It's got to be new flashy. But I think that some of the best players on this team next year are going to be, I think, have more of an upside than some of these free agents that Colts fans want the Colts to go out and sign or trade for. And they're certainly going to be more cost effective around Anthony Richardson.
And, you know, not even guys who are free agents, but in talking about the upside, like think about what Juju Brents can do with a second season, a healthy offseason. So I'm just kind of even looking at, you know, those guys that you have internally and the jumps that, you know, can be made at those various positions based on just, and again, not guys who are free agents, but just purely, you know, the leap that you can take in having this group and some of the guys who you knew were headed back, but the expectations that there are for so many of them.
Yeah. And again, from a fan standpoint, I get it. They look at the online trackers. They look at some of the analytics websites on salary cap, the amount of spending that can be done. The Colts have spent a boatload of money on guys that, again, are some of the best players at mm-hmm. their positions in the NFL. And you really don't want to lose those guys because of what they are in terms of a player on the field, the leaders mm-hmm. they are inside the locker room. But again, I think with Anthony Richardson coming back, he is the key to all of this. Mm-hmm. So, like, the Colts think that Anthony Richardson can lift this team. There's no doubt about it. Again, we go back to what we said earlier, that the Colts are going to go as far as Anthony Richardson will take them. And I think there's some truth in that. But player acquisition just started. I think you're going to see – I don't know anything.
I don't know anything, right?
I'm not here trying to say that, like, I have a gut feeling, but I'm just saying draft time can mm-hmm. be mm-hmm. really screwy mm-hmm. and fun things happen.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see this team be bold around how convicted they are with supplementing this roster with good players inside the draft.
It will be an interesting month ahead. Like, to me, that's the madness is when we get into, it's not March.
No.
It's April.
Yeah, we saw with A.J. Brown a couple years ago. I mean, who saw that coming? So I'm not saying anything of that magnitude mm-hmm. is happening here to the Colts, but guy that has to put that puzzle together is Chris Ballard, again, going into his eighth season.
And there are a lot of, one thing too, there are a lot of guys still available out there. You know, a name that we were just kind of having some fun with tossing around, it was like, oh man, hey, Stephon Gilmore hasn't signed
still,
anymore.
I mean,
like,
guys that can still play.
To me, that's an indication of just how much there is still to be determined if you have a guy like that,
right.
You know, who is still on the open market, still considering his options. So sorry to catch off.
No,
but,
that's exactly right, though. Again, we just started. We are a week and a half into this thing. So the draft is still on the horizon. There's going to be a lot of good players that come into this roster to play big roles in 2024. And the guy that has to figure all that out, Chris Ballard, who again sat down with JJ in Orlando this week at the owners meetings.
All right, I'm JJ Stankovitz here at the NFL owners meetings in Orlando with Colts general manager Chris Ballard. Chris, we're kind of through the first couple waves of free agency. Obviously, you can always, you know, continue roster construction, roster building into the season. It's not set in stone yet. But why was it important to retain so many pieces on defense specifically with Tyquan, Grover, Kenny, those guys all coming back?
Well, look, they're all been really good players for us. And, you know, being able to get all three of those guys back into the fold, we were really excited about. You know, all three of them had other opportunities. And, you know, luckily we were able to get a deal done to get them back. And I don't think you can underestimate continuity and being in the scheme another year, how much that's going to help, you know, not only them personally, but also the team.
Talking to Shane about this yesterday, and he made mention that, you know, hey, when you get that continuity on defense, you're going into year three with Gus. All these guys have played together for 5, 6, 7 years now. That can lead to more takeaways. How do you see that continuity maybe leading to a jump in this defense with Gus this year?
You know, it'll be fun to watch because, you know, we still got work to do. But when you understand what our defensive staff and Gus and them are trying to do, and then you understand where the strengths of the defense are, and then also where they can hurt you a little bit, it makes you to play a little freer, a little faster. Each and every year you've had more reps in it. So that's definitely a benefit.
Let's talk about Raekwon Davis a little mm-hmm. bit. A guy who played mostly in a three down front in Miami where he's kind of two gapping. You mentioned when we were talking to the local media here that you think there's a little bit more in his game, maybe coming to a four down, more attacking front. Where do you see him fitting in that defensive line?
Well, there's no doubt. He'll definitely be in the mix. He's a big man who can move for a big man. So I think everybody knows my philosophy. Like, I don't think you can have enough good players up front. And then we're excited to get him and get him in the mix and, you know, see what more he can add to the defense. But we think he can play both the one and the three and give us some snaps. But we know Grover can play both the one and the three. And it gives us some flexibility inside, also with Buck.
And that gives you the depth, too, to maybe not put so much on Groven Buck as well.
Yeah, and then, you know, getting Raekwon, also getting Taven signed back mm-hmm. into the mix, who we thought, you know, did some really good things last year. And then also our young players behind them. We think we got some good depth inside.
That's kind of a bigger picture question, but last year at the owners' meetings, you mentioned that, you know, you fielded inquiries for Ryan Kelly, Kenny Moore II. You said, we're keeping them. They're good Colts. They're good players. And they both went out, had outstanding seasons. Obviously, Kenny now back on the extension. Is that just a reminder that development's not linear? Careers are not linear. You shouldn't bury guys, you know, after one maybe down season if they have, you know, prior success. Just the lesson of that, those guys keeping them and then having them play so well last year.
I think we all had a rough 2022. I mean, you know, me included. And, you know, there's, look, we believe in people and you bet on people. And I knew what kind of people they were. And it doesn't shock me that they bounced back the way they did. And I think they'll continue to play at a high level. I mean, of course, when things don't go right or and your play declines, you've got to address it. But we didn't see any decline physically. You know, it was just one of those years. So, no, very, very proud of what those guys were able to do and where I think they're going.
Offensively, you've invested in Michael Pittman Jr., invested in Jonathan Taylor. Anthony Richardson invested a high pick in him. When you look at that kind of trio of skill position players, what can they build on in 2024?
Well, I think, one, getting, you know, Anthony, you know, through a full – getting him back in the mix and into a full season is going to be fun for everybody to watch, all of us included. And I think when you look at Pittman, another year two really in the new offense, Jonathan Taylor being healthy for an offseason. We forget last offseason he went through a surgery and rehab, and then we had the contract stuff going on. For him to be clear mentally and physically, I think we're about to see a monster year from Jonathan. And then getting Anthony back in the mix with those guys, you know, makes it exciting going forward. And then, you know, you don't ever want to forget about, you know, we think Josh Downs, we like Pierce, we like the totality of our tight end room, and we think we got a really good offensive line. So we think, of course, there's you always want to add, we got the draft and some more free agency here down the line, but we're excited about where we're at.
The impact Reggie Wayne has made seems to be pretty significant there as a coach, but I want to ask you about him as like a talent evaluator. Like he's, you know, he was big on Downs last year, right? What have you learned about Reggie's eye for not just being like, hey, that guy's a good receiver, and that's a good receiver who fits us.
Let me tell you this about Reg, because I think the world of Reggie, and it's been fun to watch him grow, not grow as a coach. Like, he had never really coached before when he got in this position. So he was just figuring it out. It's different when you're a player, all right? Now when you have to go teach what you know, it's different. Because a lot of times guys can't do, this is one of the things I used to tell Reg, was like, hey, they can't do what you did. You got to figure out what they can do and help them enhance that. And that's been fun for me to watch. And then also, even as an evaluator, I've always thought that players know players. They do. They have a good feel for it. And they have a good, like, you ask our locker room. Our locker room knows who can play. I mean, they have a good feel for it. And I think he played in the league so long. He's been around the game for so long. I think he understands the skill sets that are required to be successful at wideout. And that helps him identify, you know, guys like Josh Downs.
With the continuity on the coaching staff, you know, just in general, how does that benefit Shane and kind of the message and the culture and the scheme and all that stuff that he's building, you know, keeping coordinators, keeping position coaches on staff this year?
I think that was critical. Anytime you have continuity year to year, it's you're going to do things better. And we think we got some really good coaches. I thought Shane did an outstanding job, you know, when he went and hired, you know, hit the staff and put the staff together. He was very diligent. He took his time. He didn't rush. And I think it came to fruition as we went through the season. You saw these guys grow and continue to grow together as a staff. It's no different than a team. I mean, they're growing as a staff together. So, no, excited about, you know, having everybody back. And I think the addition of Charlie Partridge, we're excited about from University of Pittsburgh, you know, as our defensive line coach. He's got a wealth of knowledge and he's a really good teacher.
Last one for you here, Chris. Just what kind of growth have you seen from Shane specifically that, you know, maybe last year as he's trying to, you know, set this foundation that he's now kind of started to build on in year two so far?
I think the first year as a head coach, you're just trying to navigate being a head coach. I mean, you're now, you know, when you've been a coordinator, you're in charge of your unit, but now you're in charge of every coach, every player on that team. And I thought he did a tremendous job, you know, in year one, but then going into year two, watching, understanding the areas that we needed to improve, challenging our coaching staff and challenging our players in places that we need to improve and get better, and then challenging us on where we need to get better as a personnel staff and things that he needs to be successful.
All right. Chris Ballard, thanks for the time here.
Awesome.
In Orlando.
Awesome stuff right there. J.J. Stankovic down in Orlando. Thanks again to Chris Ballard and Shane Steichen for their time with J.J. this week and for appearing here on the Official Colts Podcast. Back here with Lara, I'm Matt to close out. And Chris and Shane, they were not the only headliners this week down in Florida, Lara. We have rule changes. All right, you have the whiteboard. We're going to get into that in just a second. Hold tight. Some big rule changes coming to the league here in 2024. Let's start first with the hip drop tackle, also known as the swivel tackle. No more. It is banned. The violation is going to result into a 15-yard penalty, automatic first down. Troy Vincent, executive vice president of football operations, said this week that it is likely to be enforced to the, quote, use of helmet rule, so helmet-to-helmet contact, which typically leads to warning letters and fines the week after a game rather than flags during the course of the game. The rule change does not outlaw all hip drop tackles, but rather those in which the tackler, quote, unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and lower body, landing on top of the runner below the knees. So in other words,
how difficult is that to call on the fly?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I know it's really dangerous. That type of tackle is really dangerous. They reported it's 20 to 25 times more likely to lead to an injury. But you're exactly right. Don't roll your eyes at me, okay? Because I was never an NFL player, and I'm not trying to pretend like I was one, but I did play all the way through college
as
a defender.
Yes, you did.
And someone that played in the secondary. So if you're telling me that I have to worry about keys, coverages, rolling formations, and then when there's a big play that happens in front of me, I have to stop and think about how I'm tackling a guy, That's a tough proposition.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing, too, is now guys who have been doing this for, just say you start playing football at 7 years old, right, call it, you've been playing this way for 15, 20 years, whatever, and now you have to make, I mean, not that you're tackling that way in like pup league and all that,
right,
but now you've been in the league for a period of time, you're playing the same way from your college days at least, and now you have to make this adjustment on the fly,
right,
like just completely, you know, alter that. And then there's also, I mean, tell me, from your perspective, the ability you have as a defender to tackle a guy, and I mean, you're trying to pull down. Think about trying.
You're running
to take,
side by side with a guy,
right? And okay, a guy with the power of a Jonathan Taylor or whoever, and you're trying to bring him down. How much control do you have over exactly how that happens when you're trying to basically get just completely wrap a guy up, right? That's what you're worried about. And then, oh, wait, I have to not drop my body weight and pull down and, swivel in that. How are all of those things happening simultaneously?
The kinesiology of all this is, I mean, honestly, it's really daunting. To your point, I mean, if you're a safety or a linebacker catching up with the play, you're either trying to limit the damage of a big play or prevent a touchdown. Your job in that moment is to just get the guy on the ground, get the ball carrier on the ground as quickly as possible, and to think about in real time how I'm touching, how I'm, what part of the body or the uniform I'm grabbing in order to get leverage to get this guy on the ground. Like, it's impossible.
I remember
it's absolutely impossible.
A couple of years ago, when we were talking about the adjustments that they made in terms of how you're able to tackle the quarterback and the frustration, that there was from certain guys, with that, when they're like, 100%. Wait, hold on, we are making, this is milliseconds 100%. That you have between being able to make contact, have a successful, stop on a play.
Takedown.
Yeah. Yes. And then you have these other things like, guys were joking about, okay, now we have to pick up a guy and lay him down, basically is what you're now resorted to.
Well, it's just another rule that favors offense. And I'm all for making the game safer.
Sure.
I'm all for evolving. There's no doubt that play is dangerous. But again, the NFLPA didn't like it. They didn't want it. And I've seen, former players, current players come out and say how impossible it is.
J.J. Watt was all over Twitter yesterday talking about it.
And I think they're right. It's just another thing they have to contend with, another thing they have to compartmentalize. And I do like the fact that from Troy Vincent's standpoint, that it's going to be sort of, I don't know what the right word is, it's going to be, justified after the fact, primarily because it's going to be impossible for the officials to determine in real time how much force, how much leverage there was in the swivel to get a guy down. So I think a lot of these are going to be more fines and more penalties.
I'm going to call something right now.
Unless it's really egregious.
When we get back, when guys are back for OTAs and all of that, I want to get like Gus Bradley or one of these defensive coaches back here and ask them, how are you guys...
Yeah, how are you going to deal with it?
Yeah, how are you dealing with this? How are you adapting for this? How are you integrating certain things?
We should also preface, again, as a former football player, no one teaches the hip drop tackle.
But
okay, it's all about leading with your head. But it's, again, if there's a big play happening, get guy on ground, whatever it takes. And sometimes just the natural body mechanics and movements of the play just lead to the hip drop tackle. So again, I'm all for the game evolving, but it's going to make it really hard on defenses to just react in real time and just play football, you know? And I think it makes the game is kind of making it hard for guys to just be football players.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of what you sign up for. Sounds cruel, but that's what it is. Elsewhere, two other proposals were approved. Teams will receive a third challenge after one successful challenge. Previously, teams had to be successful on two challenges to get the third. So that's a big one. But let's talk about the kickoff. All right. So we have diagrammed this as best as we can here. So
we're calling in Gene's territory. Yeah.
So here we go. We have, this is not going to be great for our audio audience, but for those on YouTube, you can follow along here. So this is what we have going on here. This is the kickoff rule that owners approved today, actually on Tuesday at owners meeting. So this is how it's going to go. Lair's going to help diagram in real time here with your trendy.
Do my best John Madden.
There you go.
Right?
You got a guy to ball a thing and go round and round and round and boom.
All right. So the ball is now going to be kicked off at the 35-yard line. And just the kicker for the kicking off team, the kicking team, will be at the 35-yard line. Everybody else, in terms of alignment, is going to line up 1 foot on the receiving team's 40-yard line. So the rest of the kickoff cover team is going to line up at the 40-yard line. 10 other guys, okay? The 10 kicking team players can't move until the ball hits the ground or a player in what's called the landing zone. The landing zone is between the goal line and the 20-yard line. So basically, it's the red zone. That's the landing zone. The 10 players covering the kick cannot move until the ball is either hits inside the 20-yard line or the returner catches the ball. That's when the kickoff goes into live motion, if you will. The receiving team is going to line up as follows. They're going to line up in what's called the setup zone, which is a 5-yard area from the 35-yard line to the 30, where at least 9 receiving players must line up. At least 7 players have to have
a little S for the setup zone.
There you go. Yeah. 7 players on the receiving team have to have their foot on the 35-yard line. 2 other players can line up off of the 35-yard line, but they have to be between the 30 and the 35. That's what's called the setup zone for the receiving team. A maximum of 2 returners can line up in the landing zone and can move freely to get the ball. Okay. The landing zone, again, is the area between the goal line and the 20-yard line. Any kick that hits short of the landing zone, treated like a kickoff or a kickoff out of bounds, will be spotted at the 40-yard line. All right. Again, any kickoff that hits short of the landing zone or goes out of bounds is going to be given to the receiving team at the 40-yard line. Any kick that hits in the landing zone and then goes into the end zone must be returned or downed by the receiving team. Down would obviously be a touchback. If that happens, then the ball will be spotted at the 20-yard line. Are you with me so far, Lara? Give me a head nod.
Yes.
You're
yes,
with me
I am.
So far.
Yes, I am.
I don't feel like we're I'm describing this very well. We'll proceed
you
on.
You don't think you are. I'm the one who's trying to actually illustrate this.
You're
is
doing
more
quite
fun
well.
Than
You're doing quite
thing.
Well.
You can't even see what I'm doing.
So basically, the ball has to hit between the goal line and the 20-yard line. If that happens, then the return team must field it. You can't fair catch anymore. Fair catches are gone. That was a one-year experiment, didn't go so well, and that's gone out of the game. So if the ball lands in the 20-yard line and then trickles into the end zone, it's a touchback. That will be placed at the 20. If the ball, if you just kick the ball directly into the end zone or out of bounds, the other team gets the ball at the 40-yard line. This is a way, Lara, to add more intrigue to this play, make it safer. And, I mean, last year, the NFL thought it was going to go from around 38% of kickoff returns to around 31% with the implementation of the fair catch. They drastically underestimated what would happen. It went down from 38 to 22%. So we had a Super Bowl last year, Lara, where we had 13 kickoffs for the entire game, zero returns. The Colts last year, as a team, they played 18 games. Guess how many kickoff returns they had for the entire season in 18 games?
Nine. I was thinking about Germany. I was thinking the Frankfurt game, right? Like,
yeah.
That was like the one where I was like, wait, we finally have something. Like, we're finally returning the ball.
Isaiah McKenzie's going here.
Yeah.
So it's a way
Country Roads, take him home.
100%. So I think it's a way to make the play more interesting. Also, add more value to special teams.
Yeah.
I mean, these back end of the roster guys have to love this new rule because now they've got a niche. Like, the Matthew Slaters of the world are loving this because it adds value to their ability to make a team, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, you have to be able to cover punts and cover kicks. This is another way to do it. So, also, I think it's going to really improve field position for next year. It's going to lead to more points. It's going to lead to more excitement, which is obviously what the common fan wants. So, I don't know how you feel about it, but I kind of like it.
Well,
it's gonna
I've had a crash course in it now, thanks to Matt Taylor. I do. I think it's
going to look
intriguing.
Wacky. And there's going to be a feeling out process for the common fan. But I think once you get over sort of the shock of it and the jarring look of it,
yeah.
You know, because
my dad was really upset about it.
It is an XFL type of play.
That's what he said. He was like, this is not the
it's
XFL.
It's pretty radical.
Like, he was upset about it a little
but
bit.
I think
he's a football traditionalist.
You're going to see big returns, better field position. So,
and you never have to see me do this again. That's the best news of this also.
Right.
It's not terrible.
You're taking all the collisions out of the play with a 5-yard difference between the cover team and the return team. So I like it.
And
I do.
And you just can't, the thing is too, on the coverage team, you can't build up quite as much momentum from where your position
right.
is now.
It takes
now.
Out the high potential of concussions and collisions and things like that. So I think, you know, once the common fan, I think by week 5, it's going to be all normal.
Yeah,
I really do. I think it's going to be all normal, and I think people are going to get used to it. And I think it adds more value to teams to add a spark plug back there as a return man, you know, get some bigger plays and be creative with the alignment of those things, how they kick off, how they go about receiving it. You know, there's a lot more technician status
about
this play.
Downs is on kickoff return?
As of right now, he's your guy.
Right. I mean, I'm all for it.
Speedster, baby.
Yeah.
Get him back there and, you know, just find a little bit of a crease. And that's the thing. Like, there's going to be a lot of, like, engaging between the 5 yards of the kicking team and the cover team, there's going to be some holes that you just aren't going to be able to cover because of guys being too quick to hit them.
Yeah.
You know, so that part's exciting. So, all right, what else you got this week? What else is going on Behind the Colts, which came out last week, obviously, with the first episode, which was fantastic,
chronicling
behind the scenes of head coach Shane Steichen. What else can we expect within the series?
Well, we're working on a couple things simultaneously. You know, none of these things are happening, like, singularly. The episodes, which you will see over the course of the next few months, we are working on building a few of those right now, primarily focused on the draft. You will see an episode coming up ahead of the draft, really digging in on the grind and the process in preparation for the draft. So we'll see that coming up here very, very soon. Excited to show you guys. Obviously, those who have been along the ride of With the Next Pick, you know what to expect from the draft series. So it is a lot of those elements which people have come to expect from the draft series, but some areas that we haven't yet been able to dive into.
Yeah, pry open.
So yeah, you know, that's one thing with the series and these off-season series is how are we continuing to evolve it so that we are delivering new content and aspects that we haven't been able to show.
Yeah.
And it's tricky because you want to show as much as possible, but then there is such a layer of there are things that are going to be, you know, you can't exactly, you know, get into certain aspects of it. just because of the sensitive nature of the draft and the processes that there are. But we will bring you guys some very interesting elements and some things we have not yet been able to.
Absolutely. Behind the Colts, episode number one, all about Shane Steichen. Plenty more where that came from. Check it out on all the Colts social media platforms, YouTube. It's right there for you. And there's going to be plenty more coming right around draft time. Lair Overton, I'm Matt Taylor. Our brackets are not busted because we didn't fill one out. Yeah. So now we're just watching. Go Purdue coming up this weekend. Local tie there. The Fighting Boilermakers obviously have a great chance to make the Final Four. So we're pushing like heck for that
and
to happen.
The Hoosier women in the Sweet 16
indeed,
as well.
Indeed.
So,
yeah. So busy, busy time of the year. And the draft will be here in less than a month. So we got you covered across the board on Colts.com, here on YouTube, and the Colts Audio Network. Again, for Lara, I'm Matt Taylor. Our thanks again to head coach Shane Steichen, GM Chris Ballard, J.J. Stankovic down in Orlando. All three guys making their way back later this week back to Indianapolis. And we'll be back as breaking news happens on overtimes. And, of course, next Tuesday on the official Colts podcast here on YouTube and the Colts Audio Network. So long.